Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, who's this please?
It's Rosie from Portsmouth.
Hi Rosie, what's going on?
Well, I just finished my exams. Got a bit wet on the way home, but very happy about it.
Yay, what exams are you doing?
Criminology.
Ooh. That sounds quite cool.
Yeah.
Is it like CSI?
Well, not quite as glamorous, but pretty much there.
So it's the same kind of thing?
Yeah.
Can you do CSI Pompey, please? Because I'd love that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you just kind of on a jet ski, like, round the spinnaker.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
And would be as glamorous as Miami.
Yeah, you've got... It's all about Miami. I don't know why we're playing this one.
Oh, you don't like this? Well,
no,
you
I
like
don't.
Miami.
It's all about Miami.
Miami is the funniest.
Yeah. I think that's why I like it.
Yeah.
What are you? Are you more Miami or more Vegas or New York? Would you say in your exam
today?
I'm
a bit of a New York girl.
Oh, you like New York? Oh.
Yeah.
You've got to be New York for exams, though, haven't you? And then afterwards you can go and do all the Miami stuff.
With Horatio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well done for finishing your exams. You must be really relieved.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
It's all right. How are you going to celebrate?
Probably just get really, really drunk.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe have a cup of tea.
Yeah, I would have a cup of tea because otherwise you'll end up committing a crime.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye. Radio 1 Podcast. This has sparked a whole what's best CSI Miami Vegas New York thing now, which, and we've talked about this before. Seriously, Miami is the best. We all know it. Dave's been on from Shropshire saying, no, you're wrong. Whenever Horatio's speaking to a subject, he's always looking down. Then when he speaks, he looks up. We always say his lines are on the floor or the table because he can't remember them. That's why he's good.
He's amazing. Have you ever seen the Weeble and Bob CSI Miami?
No.
The little animated characters. You need to look that up on YouTube because it's very funny and just takes the mick out of Horatio.
Another YouTube must is from Rob in Bedford. He says the best thing on YouTube is the Horatio sunglasses compilation, which is just all of his sunglasses from like the beginning bit of the show.
When he does his awful one-liners.
Yeah.
Because he always, when he's delivered the one-liner, he'll be looking at the floor with his glasses on, he does the one-liner, and then he'll put them back on. It's
yeah.
Brilliant. Have you got one?
Hang on.
Mob hit Horatio.
Yes, and it's time to head back.
The verdict's already in.
The verdict is in, Frank. But the jury is out.
That kind of thing. Love Horatio. Today's legend...
It's Horatio Caine of CSI Miami.
It's not, but we should make that happen. Please can we do another Legends Week and get Horatio in? How incredible would that be?
And visualise it.
Yeah.
We need to get him on the webcam.
Yeah, in the glasses.
Yeah.
Today's legend has drank wee from the skin of a rattlesnake. He has also been buried in a building during an earthquake. He's driven a car off a bridge into a deep lake. And has utilised the corpse of a sheep as a sleeping bag and flotation device. That immediately makes him a legend!
Is it Joe McElderry?
No, it's Bear Grylls. Has Joe McElderry done all that? Well, put him down with Horatio for the next Legends Week.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcasts. Becky's here, hi.
Hiya.
Chris is here, hey.
Hello.
Right.
Sorry, I think that bit is quite formulaic.
Okay.
I think we should spice it up a bit.
Becky and Chris are here.
Hiya.
All right.
Oh, no, you're supposed to do it at the same time. That was rubbish.
Next time, when you say, I think next time, you know, like on BBC Breakfast where they introduce each other, Chris?
Yeah.
Next time Scott says, Becky's here, you can say hello, and then I'll say hello in your bit, and then...
Well, like a triangle.
Yeah.
That was the first time you heard that Jason Derulo song, Chris, and the look of excitement on your face was something else.
We didn't get involved, though.
No, you know when he loves it, because he's like, come on, let's get involved, people!
It's like when he does that kind of weird arm thing.
Yeah.
Like Peter Kay on the road to Amarillo.
Often seen in Oceania Watford on a Saturday night. It's time for Dear Scott, the Posh Radio 4 lady, reading out the stuff you've been sending us.
Dear Scott, Becky, the one that doesn't speak, Chris, and the mighty fine PR4L. Was listening to one of the podcasts recently as I drifted off to sleep, as I do every night, and heard you talking about musical instruments. It got me thinking back to when Mr. Shu, off of Glee, came in on your birthday and gave you a ukulele and you had to learn it for his tour. All his dates in the UK are fast approaching. Is there any update on your progress? Maybe you can give us a little preview on the show soon. Oh. Hope you're well. Love you. You complete me. Tom from Cardiff, XX.
Oh, no. Is that coming up soon?
I think it's... Is it the 13th of June?
You're joking me.
Well, you've had... How many weeks was he... He was on ages ago.
Yeah,
he was
ages
on at the
ago.
End of March. So that's all of April, most of May. You've had 10 weeks.
This happens a lot in my life where I say, yeah, I'll do it. And then, like, you think it's ages away and then suddenly it's the next day.
So I'm assuming by that you haven't done any practice.
No, so I've got a fortnight to learn the ukulele.
God, it was in March, Scott.
Yeah, that's my birthday, March. Right, I need emergency ukulele lessons. If anyone knows how to play, please. I know the PR4Ls does play, but she's very busy. So anyone that can teach me emergency, like, crash course ukulele,
Shall
please let me know.
Should I do emergency ukulele into Google?
Yeah. I might send an all-staff email as well to Radio 1. To the entire BBC. Next!
I know how to get rid of the symptoms of hemorrhoids.
Right, how does spam... how does spam keep getting in?
I need to reset my filter, don't I?
Yeah, she doesn't need to read those
out. It's just loads of covers of Paramore if you type in emergency ukulele. That's not going to help
That's
you.
Not really going to help. Right, I don't want any ones in future about any creams, any...
What have you signed up for?
Any enlargements, anything. They all need to not be on anymore. Next.
Dear Scott, Becky, TOTDS, the PR4L and Chris, I'd like to thank you for introducing the Wiki Races game to the nation. It's amazing. Laughing smiley. I've started a new craze in my IT class, which is boring, so the game livens it up a bit.
Yes, this is our Wiki Races game from the other day.
Great game, isn't it? Really
what
great fun. Well, you start on one link on Wikipedia and then it's a race to get to the next link. I think how we do it, though, is just in the fewest links possible.
Yeah, that's the idea. So you get from a word or a subject to somewhere else.
What was it? Scott Mills to unicorn in 2 clicks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the most impressive one.
I got from Jim to Bob, 21 links. My friend got from fire alarm to bed, 5 links. And someone else got from computer to grass, 20 links. It's so much fun. Laughing smiley. Love you, babes. Rose off of Birmingham.
Now, I
think... Scott, did your flatmate get all those tickets?
I don't know yet about the tickets. He's applied for 12 grand's worth of tickets for the Olympic Games.
I'm still waiting on this as well, actually.
Yeah.
They're saying that everyone will know by Tuesday night.
Oh, really?
They've only taken 60% of the monies out at the moment, so I think it's by Tuesday night.
Also, he was upset last night because he'd heard on the news, I think it was, that somebody... got all of the tickets that they applied for and it was 4 grand's worth. So I really hope that...
I don't know anyone who's got any yet.
His doesn't work.
Well, has the one that doesn't speak got his? No. Nope.
Well, maybe that was a hoax, but I'm sure he said he saw it on the news. I don't know. Anyway, anything else you want to know, anything else you want to say, send me an email to scott.mills@bbc.co.uk and we will get it on Dear Scott.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Now, if you heard us earlier in the week, you'll know that my friend Chris here, hi.
Hello.
Has his new scheme of saying yes to everything, just to see what direction it takes him in life. And that direction is, he's now somehow become an author, by saying yes. Well, you want to become an author.
Well, yeah, I'm aspiring to be the next big author.
You went out shopping with some girls, you went to a bookshop, they were looking in the chick lit section... The books that girls like to read. You flicked through one and thought, I could do that.
Well, yeah, if I'm honest, these bestsellers, I think I can do a better job.
So Chris wants to be an author, and you wrote the start of a story the other day, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
And we all heard
chapter.
That and enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah, it was good.
Cool.
It got a great reaction on the text and on our Facebook.
Yeah, I'm surprised how many people were talking about it in the pub that night, actually.
Yeah.
But I still can't tell if that's a good or a bad thing. I think it's a good thing.
So where are we at now?
Well, I've written the next one.
What? 2 days later and you've written the sequel. Is it a follow-up or is it an entirely separate novel?
Do you know what? It could be. I think it could be deemed as a follow-up to the last one.
Same characters?
same characters as the Demon Headmistress, yes.
Wow, you're churning them out. Two books in a week.
Yeah, but then I thought you can choose the best bits, put them all together, and I've got a bestseller.
Well, I hope you haven't compromised on quality, because the first one was good.
Thank you.
Now, you've been out on the streets today, right?
Yeah, so what I thought is with the new one, is that I'll go out and do a bit of market research, you know, like a focus group, and ask some chicks what they thought of my chick lit. What's wrong with that?
No, it's nothing. I just like the way that you're referring to them as chicks.
Well, it's chick lit, this, isn't it? I thought we'd all agreed that.
So you went to find some actual chicks on the street?
Yeah, find some chicks.
So you told them that your new book was coming out?
Well, not quite, no. Because I thought girls like girl authors, don't they?
So I think generally they're mostly by girls, aren't they?
Yeah. In this category anyway, yeah.
So I thought I need to give myself a sort of pseudonym, a sort of a female alias to be able to put these books out, to make them bestsellers.
So you've now got a different name?
Yeah, so I'm now the best-selling chick-lit author, Christina Emmanuel.
They are called things like that, though, aren't they?
It's good, isn't it?
So, you're Christina Emmanuel.
Yeah, on the street to these people, yeah.
I like that a lot.
OMG.
So I went up to them, asking them as if I sort of represent the lady that is Christina Emmanuel.
Okay, I want to hear this.
Basically, I've got some work from this new author. It's called Christina Emmanuel, and she writes chicklets. She's like this new big chick. Do you know what chicklets are?
No.
They're
like romantic.
Yeah, they're like romantic stuff. It's like female. Exactly, it's a new female author.
Did you say she writes chicklets?
Yes.
Well, it's chick lit. It's like that's the plural. You don't need to add an S. Chicklets sounds like some sort of weird chocolate.
Chicklets.
It's called Christina Emmanuel, and she writes chicklets. She's like this new big chick. Do you know what chicklets are?
I'm having to educate chicks on chicklets.
No, it's chick lit literature. It's not the plural, isn't it? It's not chick lit.
Oh, right.
Okay.
It's a new female author, and she wants to know if girls will like this new story. Okay?
Okay.
Right, so I'm going to read it to you. Yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
All good?
Ready.
Right, this is called The Spicy Italian.
I can't wait for this.
It's a good name, isn't it?
I want to hear some of this. All right, so can you maybe read out to us what you read to these girls?
Okay, yes, you want to hear a bit of the story?
I'll get you some music, hang on. Here we go.
Ready?
Yeah.
The Spicy Italian by Christina Emmanuel. It was just another lunchtime, the same old routine, the same old sandwich shop. He was hungry, but today he wouldn't be eating alone. Which bread would you like? Said the man behind the counter. But before he had a chance to answer, a soft, sexy voice cut in and whispered, Hearty Italian, please. Horatio apologised. He had nearly skipped the queue. The girl turned round. She was beautiful. Eyes like two magic eight balls. And today the outlook looked good. Let me buy this, Horatio blurted out. He instantly realised his mistake. But she smiled, turned around and whispered gently, Thank you. He was happy to feed her. Horatio turned to the counter and looked back to the girl. I'll have a spicy Italian, please. She giggled, turned to the counter and asked for the meatballs. They moved closer. She was stunning, a petite brunette, groomed immaculately like a prize-winning horse. His hunger was growing. He wanted a foot long. She was happy with just the 6 inches. They both knew what was about to happen. Would you like that toasted? The man asked. Things were heating up. She pushed herself against him. Salads? Sauces? He asked. I think I'm saucy enough, she said, as she turned and winked at Horatio. The tension was growing. Let's leave, she said, tugging on Horatio's jacket. But Horatio was a man of principles. His meal was ready and he handed over his cash to pay. Would you like to make it a meal deal for 50p more? The man asked. But Horatio wasn't after a drink. He was thirsty for something else.
Oh, God.
And she looked like she had unlimited refills. His spicy Italian was ready. to be continued.
Oh, that's brilliant. Really well done, Chris. You are a natural at this. Good, Becky.
Thank you.
That's great. Are you all right?
I don't know if it's had the right effect on Becky. This is sort of meant to be turning you on.
Oh, I can't speak.
Okay, so. I'll speak. So that's what you read to them. Yeah. And let's find out what the chicks thought of your chicklets.
What are you thinking of this?
It's so nice.
It's a bit cheesy.
Yeah, it's like cheeky.
Exactly the same thing happened to you as
this
happened to them.
Reaction.
Listen. Same.
Would you buy that?
Well,
No.
Oh.
It's meant to be. This is the kind of stuff that girls like, apparently.
No. Just get straight to the point.
Straight to the point.
Oh, right. Are they saying there was too much foreplay?
Almost too much waffle in this one.
Oh. They wanted them to get straight to the point of it.
Which, is ironically, is the opposite of what I thought Chicklet was about.
Me too. And actually, I enjoyed the build-up myself.
What do you want? He walked in, she walked in, they did it.
Well, I enjoyed the build-up. That's what they want.
That is, I like that one.
Yeah.
And how much would you pay for that?
Six, five.
How long's
the
book?
It's not that long yet.
I'm not sure if they were keen or not.
I sort of got mixed messages from those ones, I thought.
Let's hear what another person thought.
Have you ever heard of Christina Emmanuel, the author?
No.
No?
No.
But you'd buy the book?
We'd buy it, yeah.
Maybe,
that's good.
What I did is I also thought it would be a good idea to show the book to a few blokes to see if they'd buy it for their girlfriends.
Ooh.
Good work.
Would you buy that for a girlfriend? Have you got a girlfriend?
I have got a girlfriend, yeah.
Would she like that?
Not sure. Yeah, she probably would, actually. She's always on about, like, sexy books.
There we are.
Yeah, I mean, the blokes loved this.
I'd never thought of buying this as a present until I read this, and I thought, actually, my girlfriend would quite like this.
No, I think mine would as well, yeah. My best mate would as well.
Best mate would as well.
I'm sort of thinking here that this book is actually a great idea for blokes who want to give it as a present for their girlfriends.
You can make a killing on Valentine's Day in that.
Yeah. Why are you laughing?
Just the thought of getting that for Valentine's Day is so wrong.
Would you not? Would you not like that if...
Salad, sauces, he asked. I think I'm saucy enough, she said, as she turned and winked at Horatio.
Would I buy that?
Yeah.
I don't think I would, no.
No?
No.
Why?
Nah.
Would you buy it for your mum?
No.
Definitely not, why?
No. I thought, what's it called, eh?
The spicy Italian.
No.
Would you buy it for your mum?
What's it called, eh?
The spicy Italian.
No.
I think, you know, you only asked a few people and the couple of people really liked it. So if there are any publishers listening that think that this book could be, you know, something that would sell well, then do get in touch and let the bidding war commence.
I'm very excited. Radio 1
Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
It's Legends Week all this week on Radio 1, and here is a legend, Bear Grylls. Hello.
You're so sweet. I don't feel like a legend.
Well, you are. What's it like when people like me describe you as a legend?
It's legendary. It really is. No, it's,
you must, you know, get it a lot, though.
I don't know. I take the whole thing with... I'm very grateful, but I take it with a bucket of salt, and I'm certainly not a legend at home, you know.
Really?
Trying to get back with a bag full of muddy, bloody clothes and kit and straight back into kids and everything. And yeah. Shara goes, how was it? And I go, oh, it was a bit hot or it was a bit humid. But
it probably just gets a bit old, doesn't it? It's like, oh, yeah, here's me washing again.
No, <yeah. laughs>
Well, how am I going to get that out with a hot wash? I've just read your TV shows have reached an estimated 1.2 billion people.
I mean, it's mad. I mean, the head of Discovery said this to me the other day, and it was like, it completely put the fear of God in me, because yeah. I've never really taken it very seriously. I literally have always thought from show one, Simon the cameraman, who's a genius and lovely guy and best buddy, he said from the show one, he said, just don't present this, just tell me what you're doing. You know, you get on and do your stuff, just tell me what you're doing. Mm. And I've always done it like that. I've always said, you know, the snake's not after you, it's just after the shade your shadow's providing, so back away. And I've always spoken in this way. And that's kept it very free for me. I've always just felt like I'm speaking to him. And then suddenly somebody's saying, you've got 1.2 billion people, and it's like, your tongue gets tired, and it's like...
It's only me and Simon.
That's literally how I think. But actually, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I've always thought, right, don't worry about that. Just keep doing what you've always done.
So, like, when you're in that situation, do you not feel that you're presenting, really?
No, and it's like why we never do second takes or stuff. I just go and we do it, and if it doesn't work or if it's rubbish, we've moved on and we're on to the next stuff. And, you know, the thing is, at the end of, you know, when the show's put together, you've got an hour of all the slick stuff that works and the music's playing, it all looks nice, and, you know, what you don't see is a... hundreds of hours of outtakes. I'll be falling over a log, or they've missed this, or I've fallen out of a tree again. You know.
And, well, don't tell me that.
So, you know, anyone can look good when the music's playing and it's all nice. You know.
Oh, Chris, he falls over logs sometimes.
See, this is disappointing.
Hey, Scott, listen, not often.
Can you walk down the street without people going, legend? Or what do they shout at you?
Well, we live a lot of the time on a little island off the North Welsh coast. It's 20 acres, it's 6 miles offshore. There's no mains, electricity or water. So there's a few seagulls and a few seals.
They don't
do a lot of shouting. No. But
my flatmate's a massive fan of yours, and he told me that you lived on an island. And this is earlier today when I told him that I was meeting you. And he's like, oh, I want to come along and see him. And I was like, no, get back to work. And then he told me that you lived on an island. And I was like, no, he doesn't. And you do.
Well, there you go. It's cool. It's fun. I mean, it's pretty kind of Welsh and woolly and windy and rainy.
So, is there anyone else there apart from you?
There's a lighthouse, but that's unmanned. So
just you and your family, and that's it.
And about 10,000 seagulls.
Wow. Does it ever get a bit lonely?
That's great. We have loads of, you know, we're out there. I try and work. My year works at school term times. I'm out filming. I'm at work, kids are at work. That's how they kind of see it.
Yeah.
And then I try and take as much holidays off, and then we're up in Wales for those holidays up there, and then we're in America, in LA, for a few months as well every year, and it's kind of juggles and balances out. But it's fun, you know, and we've got a barge in London as well, so we're on that a lot of the time, and, you know, it's life's meant to be fun, eh? You've got to go for these things. It might leak, and it might be a bit rusty, and it might be rainy in Wales, but, hey, it's an adventure.
My flatmate also swears to me that you would rather... Is this true? Rather sleep in a camel than in a hotel?
Well, camels are overrated. You know, this is an episode I did in the Sahara where I was with these Berber tribesmen, and this elder told me one night of how he got caught out in a sandstorm and his camel was on its last legs. And he survived by drinking the fluid from the rumen stomach of the camel and then sheltering inside its carcass. So I thought, that'd be a cool thing to show. So we did that, and I spent night inside this camel. But the mad thing is that we were filming in Australia like about a month ago, and they were doing a promotion in the middle of Sydney where they had a sort of a rubber camel, and people could come along for charity and pay to spend a night in the camel. I said, listen, I'll pay you not to spend a night in the camel, trust me. But I remember doing that, and I was on quite heavy-duty Larium pills for anti-malaria at the time, which gives you kind of hallucinatory side effects. And I remember having its head as my pillow, and there were like these whiskers like this. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and looking straight into the eyeball of this camel and going, it's come back to life!
Out of, you know, let's say, five-star luxury, one-star being the lowest, what was it like to spend the night in a camel?
No, it was a low night.
Was it? Yeah.
There have been a lot of low
nights.
Yeah,
I know.
You know. The worst are always in the swamps, and it's the mosquitoes that are always bad. And, you know, the cameras always see the big dangerous things like the snakes and the crocodiles. And although I did get bitten by a big snake a couple of weeks ago, but that's another story. But
you can't just stop there.
It's the mosquitoes that are the really, truly horrible things. You know?
Yeah. The snake?
Up a tree in this Borneo jungle. I'd made this camp and I was settling down for the night, and I saw this tree racer viper disappearing up a branch. I grabbed it, pulled it by its...
As you would.
Well, the lesson is never grab a snake by its anus, because they really get...
I hate that, don't they?
So I was pulling it, and its head was wrapped around the thing, and then it sprung back and just grabbed me and was going mad on my hand, and then pulled off my hand, and it was so crazy. The snake was then biting itself, and... Anyway, that was dinner in the jungle that night.
Hang on. So but, what do you do with... You miss out quite a bit there. So once you've got this snake biting you, you're up a tree.
Well, I got its fangs off, and then what did I do? I cut the head off, and then I skinned it, and we had it for supper, and I had a little fire up this tree. It was cool in the nook of this, or crook of this tree. But it wasn't a venomous one, so we were alive to tell the story.
Right, okay.
But, you know, we kind of, you know, it all sounds reckless and stuff, but we you know, we're kind of pretty careful on these shows at the same time. You know, I knew I had anti-venom and a med kit with the crew, you know, if it had been a dangerous one. And, you know, we have satellite phones and radios backed, and we have helicopters, you know, probably within half an hour,
yeah,
you know, flight if we needed it. You know, God willing, touch wood, we've only ever had to call that in once or twice. But, you know, so we kind of plan these things, and they're great guys, guys I film with, you know, best friends, they're ex-Special Forces buddies of mine who, you know, work incredibly hard, and in many ways they're the unsung heroes of Born Survivor, you know, carry all the heavy kit, do all the filming.
Hmm.
I mean, Simon the cameraman always says it's like Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire, where Ginger Rogers used to get really cheesed off that Fred Astaire got all the glory, but she had to do everything he had to do, but backwards. It's exactly the same. Plus add a camera, you know, yeah. So
I like it that you actually ate the snake for dinner that night, no?
Yeah. It's like, was that just revenge? Or
proper
was that
Bear Grylls, that is.
Partly revenge, partly kind of nutrition. You know.
Yeah.
Do you get asked to do a lot of reality shows?
Yes. Yeah, and in America as well. But
really?
It's, got to keep the main thing, stay away from the ice and the leotard and the celebrity get me out of here.
You haven't been asked to do Dancing on Ice.
Been asked to do that. It's a privilege, you know. It's a privilege to be asked to do these things, and I'm.
You can't have Bear Grylls dancing on ice.
That's why you haven't got Bear Grylls dancing on ice.
I'm gonna say, don't ruin the brand, ITV.
I tell you what, that I'm not joking. That really would kill it. Just stone dead.
You with the tan and those.
Shara's, my wife outfits. Said to me, she goes, my God, just imagine if anyone could see you dance with your two left feet and you're sort of clonky with her bruised shins after we've had another turn on the dance floor.
Yeah, that's probably not for you, that one, is it? I bet they've asked you to do I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
what's the challenge for you there? I'm not being funny.
That's why I'm not doing it.
Right.
You know, it's not that, you know, anyway.
You should do an extreme version where, like, you, I don't know, Stacey Solomon and Chico, or watch Jennifer Ellison having to sleep in a camel for a night or something.
Or we could just stay at home with the kids and have a nice time. Last week I took Jake Gyllenhaal on a Born Survivor, which was great. And we've done one of them before. I took Will Ferrell last year on an episode, and he was, you know, total hero with it.
Yeah.
But Jake is fit. You know, he's meant to be the fittest man in Hollywood, and, you know, he's a cool guy. Anyway, we went to Iceland, and we had the worst storms they'd reported for 10 years, and it's a pretty stormy place. And they had a jumbo jet that was blown across the tarmac of, you know, the airport. Meanwhile, I'm 5,000 foot up this mountain with this sort of Hollywood superstar on the end of a rope, both of us getting literally blown like tumbleweed across this thing. It's going to be a great show, and it's, you know, it's really kind of a side of him you're never, ever going to see before or, you know, since. But he was a great guy, and he worked super hard with me, and, you know, it's always got him sleeping in a snow cave and with him with me and crossing rivers and storms and gorges. And
was he well up for it, though? Did he love it?
He was. He said before, I'm really happy for you to really push me on this. And, you know, actually about a day before we did it, he almost pulled out, and exactly the same happened with Will. And I think kind of the nerve, you know, the reality of it all kind of kicks in a bit. And
yeah,
I said, Jake, do you know, it'd be fine. I said, he'd be fine. We'll have a few cups of tea and we'll climb up a few things. It'd be nice to cut to the storm, literally. Total white, a horizontal hail. Yeah. But my words ringing in my ear, Jake, it'd be great. We'll have a thimble around with a flask of tea.
We'll have some tea, Jake. It'll be fine.
But I knew all I'd do is get him on the end of the rope and we're then in it, you know.
How do you think Mills would do?
Bear
Mills.
Bear Mills, yeah. Bear
Mills. I don't think that's for me.
You've trekked through a desert.
Yeah, that was one time.
You've eaten goat.
So tell me about the desert. Where was
I went on the Comet Relief Desert Trek in northern Kenya. It was quite hot.
And was that tough?
It was tough, but nothing like this is what
it's
you
good
do.
Though,
is
though, isn't it? You dig deep and you kind of find a part of you that doesn't often in all of
I didn't think that I would be able to do that, but then I wasn't kind of, you know, wading rapids, eating snakes, eating deer droppings, all that. I mean, they left that off the kind of...
Scott, I promise you, it's really overrated.
Off the agenda, is it?
You haven't missed a lot. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Deer droppings, not that great.
No. I mean, nobody ever comes around for dinner any longer.
No.
They
just
go,
in
just
case.
Bear, just... you cooking? I go, no, Shara's cooking, it's okay.
Yeah, you'd be no great on dropping. A celebrity come dine with me.
Yeah.
That would be that
what
would
is
be the
it
one
with
for
you guys and all these shows? I don't want to do that, leave me alone.
He's got his own show, it's very successful. 1.2 billion people. What's the worst thing you've eaten?
Maybe kind of frozen yak eyeballs are bad. Raw goat's testicles are a low point in my life.
But,
why did you eat them raw?
I remember the testicle. Well, again, this was with another tribe I was with, and they basically, I was there for the evening. They said, we've got this goat and we're going to, you know, cook it for supper. And the delicacy is to eat the testicles. I thought, okay. And I have learned over the years to be very wary of any delicacies. And every country has delicacies. And what I've learned is they're never delicate or tasty.
No.
But anyway, so I thought, while the camera's off, I'm going to wander around the back of this goat and just check out what's hanging beneath. You know. So I kind of sauntered around the back discreetly. And I could see this goat. And the goat was only yay high. You know, it's like, it was a small goat. But what it had hanging was out of all proportion.
Wow.
I'm not joking. This like
big lad.
You know, it's like, I've done something bad in another life to get... And that was about the only time I've thrown up with this. It melted into a mouthful of everything you can imagine. It's bad.
No!
Anyway,
oh my God.
On.
Do you enjoy being scared?
No, but it's an emotion I've got used to over the years. And genuinely, you know, every day when we're filming, there's moments where it's like you kind of really feel it. And I've learned to treat that emotion of fear as something to sharpen me for what I need to do. And
so you just, when you get scared, as opposed to, like, if I was scared, like really, really scared for my life, it would cripple me probably.
Well, whereas, everyone, should I tell you a story?
Yeah, tell us a story.
Don't tell anyone.
Okay.
It's great, isn't it? I did poo in my trousers out of fear
don't laugh.
About a week
Sorry.
Ago.
A week ago?
Yeah, and it's like, I thought, and I was absolutely, it wasn't out of fear. Well, it's kind of half out of fear, but also I had eaten something particularly dodgy up this mountain the day before. And I was halfway down this thing, and it was off this glacier, and I was halfway down this rappel, and I'd made this bollard, and I was going down it, and I got to the bottom, and I'd realised something more had come out than was anticipated. Anyway, what happened, basically, I said to the guys who were out there, I go, just give me 2 minutes. Been a bit of a technical problem.
And technical
Rob,
problem.
The cameraman who's filming that way, he's come down, and I'm going, you know, cut everything, you know. Well, I didn't realise my microphone's still running. They're up above, and they said they've got this 12-minute classic monologue of basically Rob with a block of ice trying to scrape, you know, stuff that shouldn't be there off my.
Oh.
You know, I go, Rob, and I think, oh God, can you get, you know?
Oh, I see.
Anyway, and then 12 minutes later, we carried on. It was like 2 days later when we finished the shoot, got out of there, we all had a few beers in the bar, and they got out this kind of 12-minute dialogue on this bit, and it was like a great moment just listening to this thing.
Did they play it back to you?
Yeah, it wasn't my finest hour.
Yeah. See, if that microphone wasn't on, you would have got away with that.
I know. You're never alone with a microphone.
Now, we also think that you're probably very excellent at doing a barbecue.
Yeah, I'm okay at a barbecue. I did a radio interview the other day in Australia, and they walked in there, and they said, it's blooming hot in here, the air conditioning unit's broken. I said, well, how long have we got? We've got 2.5 minutes till the siren here. Well, give us that barrow. And I just jumped down, tinkered around, and got this thing. And then it all started working. It was only because something was blocked and that needed a hit. And anyway, sat down, and then it was like, got into the interview. And at the end of it, they said, the interview's great, but the best thing you've done for us, you've saved our air conditioning system. In Australia, it's pretty hot, so they were grateful.
It'd probably been like that for years before you turned up. Hello, I'm Bear Grylls. I'm here to fix the aircon.
or do your barbecue. Yeah. I do get roped in a lot by friends to do the barbecue. I don't mind that. I like barbecues.
I bet you're a charcoal man as well.
What else would you use?
Exactly. Well, you could use gas, but you wouldn't.
But that's not really a barbecue, really.
It's not really, is it? Now, your book is called Mud, Sweat and Tears. And it talks about all of your adventures, doesn't it?
Or yeah, it tells a behind-the-scenes story of how the TV show, you know, Born Survivor eventually came about. And I get, you know, people ask me lots, where did you learn the skills that you do? And so it's a story of growing up and getting in endless scrapes and endlessly being rescued from quicks mud, trying to cross harbours on the Isle of Wight at low tide and be rescued by the lifeboats and be made to do chores for the head of it aged 10, you know, and all the way growing up and then through the army and the story of SAS selection and what it involves and what we went through to then break my back, through Everest, through all these things, and eventually how kind of Born Survivor came around. So it's kind of where I learned the stuff, I suppose.
How do you come up with all the ideas? Because obviously you are trying to push the boundaries all the time.
Well, I think part of the show that I love is all the inventiveness of how to use a shoelace to do this and wrap around that and get up that, you know. Yeah, I love that quote of saying, necessity is the mother of all invention. And it's true, you know, if you're thirsty enough and all you've got is shoelace and there's a trickle of water down a rock face, well, you're going to work out to take your shoelace out, put it in the seep, let all the water come together, drip off, and you're going to get drink. You know, if you're thirsty enough, you work it out, and there's always a way.
I'm not sure I would.
And that's...
okay, so I've got a shoelace.
And that's survival.
listen,
or you've got a snake skin. You need a pee.
I need
you've
a
got
handbag.
Nowhere to keep fluids. Pee in the snake skin, wrap it up, throw it around your neck. You've got a neck cooler and you've got fluids for when you're thirsty.
Of course.
You need to remember that, Scott.
I know. Listen, it's been amazing to have you here today. Thank you so much, Bear Grylls. Part of Legends Week on Radio 1.
Thank you, guys. Such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Podcast. BBC Radio 1. Hello, I'm Scott. Oh, that music means it's Dear Scott time. I like this because it's your chance to just say what you think. Have your say about the show. Ask questions. And we can find out a bit more about your life and what's happening as well. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk with anything you want to say. Anything at all. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Just put Dear Scott in the subject. First one this time round.
Hi Scott, my name is Joachim, and about 3 years ago my English teacher told me to listen to Radio 1 to improve my English. Her words were, listen to it an hour a day and your grades will go up. Yesterday I received my Abiturzeugnis, comparable to A-levels, and holy Basil! After being addicted to Radio 1 with over 1,000 hours of listening per year, I got an A+, 15 out of 15 points. You guys really changed my whole life. Oh. There's no German radio station as funny or as good as you. Thank you very much. Joachim from Freiburg, Germany.
Oh, that's amazing. Did they say Holy Basil?
Yeah.
In that?
Do you remember that's from a Dear Scott a while ago where someone found it on a menu and said that after you kind of have like OMLG and like all that sort of stuff.
It could be a
Holy
phrase.
Basil should be our latest
phrase.
Kind of, yeah.
As a phrase for kind of exclamation.
Yeah.
Holy Basil. Well, that's really nice to know. I feared the worst when you said that. I thought you were going to say you failed. But really pleased that listening to our download and also listening to the rest of Radio 1 means that you've done well off of your exams. Well done. Keep speaking English the way we do. Next.
Dear Scott, Becala, Chris, TOTDS, etc. We were just watching the Obama visit to see the Queen and all that, and noticed something which would probably get really annoying. The Queen must hear the national anthem all the time. Every time she walks into a room, there it is again, God Save the Queen. OMLG, how annoying would that be? Although it did get us thinking, what would you want to hear every time you walked into a room? I'm guessing something off of Backstreet Boys. Who? Love you, High Fumph. Gravy and Peachy off of Ireland.
High Fumph to you also, and I like that a lot.
I thought that the other day when she walked into the banquet with Obama. I thought exactly the same thing, that every time she goes somewhere, it's always on. Mm. Either she thinks it's a massive coincidence or it's really annoying.
Well, I think she probably knows why it's on.
Well,
because she's the Queen. And that's what you do.
She needs a remix.
Well, she's not like... She won't be going, why are they playing this every time I walk in? Will she? Like, she'll know. She'll be in on it, I think. They've played this every time I've walked in a room for the last 50 years. I just don't get it. Yeah, to be fair, it's a bit like when bands have to, you know, play their hit. Like Katy Perry being a bit bored of doing I Kissed a Girl. Because she's performed it so many times. Oh, stand up.
Yeah, I'm on it.
I think she's like, oh no, not this one again. Needs a bit of Pitbull.
I think it sounds better if you stand up.
It does. God bless you, Mom. One get on the phone and see if David Guetta's free. Right, sit down.
That was good.
Also, the other thing, what song would you want to walk in on? Like your entrance music? I think this would be mine. Every time I walked in the room. Hi, everyone. Club. Enough.
I never thought of you as a champion lover.
No?
No.
Every time. Have you got one? What's yours, Chris?
Well, we talked about this before with the darts, didn't we? Sort of darts entrance music.
Oh, what was yours for the darts?
Well,
you had a special darts entrance, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did. Eminem, Lose Yourself. But I'm thinking we need to change that.
That's only for when you're Chris the Shark Stark.
Here you are, here's yours.
Yes.
Oh my God.
This means business, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Oh yeah.
Do you know what? Listen to this and look at it. You are, strangely, more attractive if you walked into a room with this playing.
Thank really? You.
I don't know why. Maybe it's because I imagine you're going to get into a fighter jet and whisk me to the cinema.
So what you're saying is, every time Chris is on the show, you would like this music. So when I say at the beginning, Becky's here, Chris is here, then this comes on.
Yeah.
Are you also saying that if I was to say go speed dating, I should bring music because I look better to music?
Yes! You look much better to this song and I don't know why, I can't explain it.
Amazing.
What's your one? Hang on. I've got an idea.
Oh, God.
This is yours, Becky. Do you know what it is? Every time you walk in a room.
Would we have to chop this bit off? Otherwise I've got quite a slow entrance.
It's alright, it builds. Still don't know what it is?
No.
Madonna.
I want to kiss you in Paris.
Said I found Chris strangely more attractive with his one. I think this one might have the opposite effect for me.
Yeah.
It's a bit presumptuous, isn't it? I haven't even said hello to anyone. I'm like, I want to kiss you in Paris.
Justify my love, Madonna.
It does suit Becky though, doesn't it?
Does it?
I don't think so.
So now.
No, I do.
So now what?
Wanting.
This bit.
Needing. Waiting. For you. Justify my love.
What are we?
Next time we're all on, we're going to play those, I reckon. Next!
Scott, I was fortunate enough to be working backstage at Radio 1's Big Weekend and saw you waiting to interview Lady Gaga. You were crumpled in a heap and were either exhausted or very nervous. Which was it? James, off of Maidstone.
Really nervous, James, but I was quite knackered as well. Remember we were waiting in the corridor, weren't we? Just waiting for the word that Gaga was ready to go. And we were there a while. So, I was just really nervous, to be fair.
Yeah, it was really nerve-wracking. There were so many really important Gaga people.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like,
And the longer you have to wait...
The worse it gets, yeah.
For somebody that famous. So, yeah, that's why. Next, please.
Hi, Scott. There seem to be loads of film festivals. You might find one that actually might show your future Oscar-nominated film. Good luck with it. Thanks, Paul Litt.
Yes, we need to get on to these film festivals. There are hundreds, apparently.
I've only been looking at ones in nice places, to be honest, like ones where we could get a good holiday off the back of it.
This is our film we're making of the weekend of Radio 1's Big Weekend, where everyone I asked had to film something. Whatever they were doing that weekend, whether it was sport or just having a party or having a few mates round or just, I don't know, going to the park. Whatever you were doing that weekend, I wanted you to film it. Where can we go, do you think?
Well, so far I've been looking at ones in, like, Australia and America.
Yeah.
And on, like, really nice... There don't seem to be many in, like, the Seychelles and stuff.
No.
Can we not do the premiere? Can we not do the premiere at my house?
What, in Pinner?
You know, like we did... I did it with, I think, was it the first episode of The Apprentice? And the Inbetweeners series, I did it for that as well. We hold a good premiere.
Yeah, you just do your own kind of premiere in your house. We could do, but I'm thinking more somewhere a bit more exotic. They have a good one in Abu Dhabi. That's quite hot. Anyway,
what's
we'll get on to
that. What's the food like?
Really nice.
Good snacks?
Yeah, really good. Anyway, thanks very much for that, Paul. We need to get onto it. Just look up film festivals and we'll see how it goes and see if they're interested. It's 6:22 on Radio 1. Does the Queen get royalties for the National Anthem?
Maybe that's why she's
question.
Not bothered.
What?
Because then maybe that's why she hasn't binned it off yet, because whilst it keeps still playing, she's still making the money.
Matt in Chesham just wants to know, and that's actually quite a good point. Anything else you want to say? Drop me an email, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.